Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we think about God, let's understand that He is holy, He is almighty, and He is fully deserving of all of our trust and all of our obedience. Today we're going to take a look at Numbers chapter 16, and let us understand what's going on there. We have people who are challenging the servants of the Lord. In doing so, they are really challenging the Lord Himself. We're going to see that the outcome is really so sad, so dreadful, so shocking, and we want to have nothing to do with any of that. May God use this sermon to give us a greater respect for our great God. I want to talk for just a moment here on the topic of defining fear. It comes up a lot in the Bible, but we should understand there are really a couple of very different ways to look at it. First of all, for those who are unrepentant, they should be afraid of the Lord. It says in Hebrews 10, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So everyone who is unrepentant, they should be terrified. But probably for the most part, they're not. So it's a bad situation in the world for the unrepentant. But what about for us, though? God has worked within us. God has given us knowledge of who He is. God has given us a great respect for Him. God has given us faith by which we trust in Him. So we know the Bible is true. We know what He says is best. And we have this desire to want to do it. Do we fall into sin sometimes and desperately need Jesus? By all means, but there is a great difference between those who are unrepentant and those who are repentant. Let's get into our text here, and I want to talk first of all about who and why. Now Korah, with Dathan and Abiram, rose up before Moses, together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. So what's going on here? Let's try to understand this situation. When we come to the descendants of Levi, it was the Lord Himself who said, you have to be a descendant of Aaron himself in order to be able to serve as a priest. But then we have other descendants of Levi, so some of them, they were given the task of taking parts of the tabernacle and carrying it when it got transported from one location to another. Now, when it came to Korah and his family, they were in the category where they were to take parts of the tabernacle, but they had to carry it on their shoulders. So they had to put it up on their shoulders and walk, and that was difficult. Now, there were also other descendants of Levi, and they also took parts of the tabernacle, but they were able to take those parts and put them on carts and then transport them in that way. What I'm trying to say here is, for Korah and his descendants, they had a very difficult role among the various descendants of Levi. They had, again, to carry the things on their shoulders. So how did Korah feel about that after a while? Well, he was jealous of the others who were doing easier work. He's like, hey, I want to be a priest. I want to transport my stuff on a cart, and yet I can't. I have a tough thing here, and I don't like it. I'm jealous of the others. What did he do? He went and recruited Dathan and Abiram, and also 250 others, and he said, hey guys, let's get together and let's rebel against Moses and Aaron. That's what's going on here in this chapter. Now we come to the complaint. The 253 men assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Now, did Moses and Aaron ever do that? By no means. They were very humble men. I don't think they even wanted the positions they had, but the Lord chose them. The Lord put them into those positions, and they were functioning in a humble manner. Now we come to the response. Moses basically said to them, I'm not going to tell you what I think. Let's let the Lord Himself decide this situation. The Bible says, when Moses heard this, he fell on his face praying to the Lord. And then he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy. Do this. Take censers for yourselves, Korah and all your company, and put fire in them, and lay incense upon them in the presence of the Lord tomorrow. And the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the one who is holy. So it's always the choosing of the Lord. Even for myself being here at Bethlehem, I didn't choose to be here. I never had a thought in my mind until about a year and a half before I went to seminary that I would ever even have any interest in being a pastor, but it was really just like an openness saying, Lord, whatever your will is for my life, show me. And this wasn't even on my list of options. So anyway, I believe the Lord chose me and put me here, and I think also, too, with Moses and Aaron, that was the choosing of the Lord. Moses tells Korah now he should think about his situation and he should be thankful. Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them, and that he has brought you near Korah and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you? Moses is saying, hey, Korah, think about it. You have been chosen by God for a very important purpose. You should recognize that. You should be thankful for that. What did Korah do? He complained. So Moses said to Korah, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. Keep in mind, Korah and his company, they're gathered together against Moses and Aaron. But Moses is saying, because you guys are coming against us, the Lord's chosen representatives, you are ultimately coming against the Lord himself. Then we come to more complaining. Then Moses sent a summons, that is an order, to Dathan and Abiram, but they said, we will not come up. Is it not enough that you have brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey to have us die in the wilderness, but you would also lord it over us? We will not come up. Isn't it such foolishness that they refer to Egypt as a land flowing with milk and honey? We can only imagine how miserable that was in their slavery. God was going to take them into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, and yet it's all turned upside down here. And then we see Moses crying out to the Lord. He prayed, do not regard their offering. I have not taken a single donkey from them, nor have I done harm to any of them. When Moses said that to the Lord, was he telling him anything new? By no means. The Lord knows everything. Maybe Moses felt better in order to say it, but let all of us understand every single detail about everything the Lord fully, fully knows. Do you have things you wish the Lord didn't know? I have things I wish the Lord didn't know. But let's be honest, though, he knows it all. So let's be thankful that all the bad stuff, it was all put on Jesus, and he paid the penalty. Let us be so thankful for that, and let us always be clinging alone to him in repentance, knowing that only in Christ do we have God's gift of forgiveness. And then coming to part six, we come to the rules of how this contest, if you will, is going to work. Moses said to Korah, you and all your company be present before the Lord tomorrow, both you and they, along with Aaron. Each of you take his fire pan and put incense on it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 fire pans. Also, you and Aaron shall each bring his fire pan. So the instructions here were very clear. I want you to see here how Moses and Aaron were so greatly outnumbered. So they each took his own censer and put fire on it and laid incense on it, and they stood at the doorway of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Thus Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. So when it talks about the congregation, what does that mean? That's talking about the millions of people that God brought out of Egypt. So not only do we have the 253, but the majority of these millions have sided with them. So you have this tremendous number of people all siding together against Moses and Aaron. It's a really sad situation that's going on here. Now I come to what I'm calling the Lord's wide-angled anger. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly." The Lord was so upset that he's saying, like these millions of people, I'm going to wipe them out immediately because they are opposing you and they are opposing me. God wants us to sit up and take notice. He is the Almighty God, and he does not want us to treat him in that way, nor those who are rightly representing him. What happened? Well, Moses and Aaron, they interceded. They fell on their faces and said, "O God, God of the spirits of all flesh, when one man sins, will you be angry with the entire congregation?" How is it that Moses and Aaron, how is it that they were heard by the Lord? They had that great blessing of God-given faith in the coming Messiah. They were in a right relationship with the Lord, and when they cried out to him through the coming Messiah, the Lord heard their plea. Now the anger of the Lord changes to what I'm calling a pinpointed anger. So rather than be angry at everyone and wipe out everyone, now his anger is kind of narrowed down to a pinpoint, if you will, in comparison to the millions. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the congregation, saying, get back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Then Moses arose and went to Dathan and Abiram, with the elders of Israel following him, and he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart now from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing that belongs to them, or you will be swept away in all their sin." So the congregation got back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the doorway of their tents, along with their wives and their sons and their little ones. Moses said, "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these deeds, for this is not my doing. If these men die the death of all men, or if they suffer the fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about an entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that is theirs, and they descend alive into Sheol, into the place of the dead, then you will understand that these men have spurned the Lord." So Moses has laid out the whole thing. Hey, here's the situation. If they die a natural death, God has not chosen me, but if something extraordinary happens, then that's the Lord's way of saying that he has chosen me and Aaron to be his representatives. As Moses finished speaking these words, so keep in mind, Moses has said something that is so huge, so impossible, it has never happened in the history of the world, and yet, as soon as he finished saying it, what happened? The ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their households and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive to Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. All Israel who were around them fled at their outcry, for they said, "The earth may swallow us up." So the Lord made it so clear that he had chosen Moses and Aaron to be the leaders to represent God to those people. Well, notice too, with the three men, not only did they go down, but also the family members who stood with them went down. What about the 250? These 250, they were very prominent men among the people of Israel. The Bible says, "Fire also came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense." So they didn't get away either. They had joined, they had opposed the Lord, and the Lord burned them up with fire. Can you imagine? 250 people, can you imagine fire coming down from heaven and consuming them? Or can you imagine that here is Korah and the others with him, and the ground opens, and they all go down into the ground, and then the earth closes back over? I mean, these are awesome things that the Lord did to show that he is almighty and to show who is with him and who is against him. And then we come to an interesting reminder here. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Say to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he shall take up the censers out of the midst of the blaze.'" That's the blaze that just killed the 250. "For they," those censers, "are holy. Let those censers be made into hammered sheets for a plating of the altar, and they shall be a sign for the sons of Israel." So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers, and they hammered them out as a plating for the altar, as a reminder to the sons of Israel that no layman who is not of the descendants of Aaron should come near to burn incense before the Lord, so that he will not become like Korah and his company. Now, on the idea of reminders, do you have reminders in your life? I'm guessing that you do. Maybe if you looked on your body, you would find a scar, and you would remember maybe some foolish thing you did as a teenager, and you have this scar because of it. Or maybe you have a scar because of some kind of cancer surgery or something like that. Maybe you're wearing a wedding ring, remembering the day of your wedding and the vows that you made to God. Maybe you have a picture that's reminding you maybe of a vacation or something that you did that was enjoyable. So there are all kinds of reminders that we have. It's important that we have reminders of the Almighty God. At some time in the future, I want to share with all of you how we have five great reminders of our Lord Jesus Christ right here in the center of our chancel. And it's perfect the way they did it here. As you come into the worship area, as you're looking forward, you should see those five reminders every week. And that should give you great peace and joy, understanding more about God's great love for us and what he did in sending Jesus, and how we have God's forgiveness through our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that at some other time. We come now to a shocking thing, though. Think about what has happened. So the ground is opened up. Fire has come down from heaven. You would think that the rest of the people are kind of like sobered up in a sense. Now they're thinking, oh, we need to be respectful of God. We need to be respectful of Moses and Aaron. Is that what happened? We come now to the congregation complaining. But on the next day, so right after these shocking things happen, on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people." Like, it was so clear, Moses said what he said, and then it was the Lord himself who took action, opening the earth and sending the fire, and yet you have these people blaming Moses and Aaron. Some people, I guess, are just so foolish. Some people never, ever learn. It's really a sad and dreadful situation, and we probably have many in the world that are in that same category. Well, we come to the Lord's confirmation. It came about, however, when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. So again, the Lord is saying to everyone, he's saying, have no doubt about it. I have chosen Moses and Aaron. I am showing myself in the glory of the cloud. I'm showing you so clearly, I have chosen them. Well, after the Lord did that, now we get back again to the Lord's wide-angled anger. Notice what it says. Then Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly. So again, the Lord is like, these people, they just keep opposing you. They keep opposing me. I'm going to wipe all of them out. What happened? You would think that Moses and Aaron would have said, Lord, you've given them a chance or two. We're just going to step back and we're just going to watch. Is that what they did? They didn't. I mean, they had hearts that were like the heart of God. I mean, God should just punish us eternally, but God doesn't do it. God is a God of great love and mercy and kindness. So what happens here? Well, it tells us that Moses and Aaron interceded. Then they fell on their faces and prayed to the Lord. Do we find ourselves in difficult situations at times? We do. What is the Lord saying to us? Because you know me through my son, you have a direct line with me. So anytime there is trouble, cry out to me and I will be there and I will hear you and I will help you according to what I know to be best. And then we see in the final section here that the Lord gave the cure. So first of all, Aaron obeyed. And I want you to keep in mind here that the Lord has told Moses something extraordinary. He gives the information to Aaron, and Aaron has a very difficult thing that he's supposed to do. Let me read it first, and then I'll go back to it. Moses said to Aaron, take your censer and put in it fire from the altar and lay incense on it, then bring it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them, for wrath has gone forth from the Lord, the plague has begun. Then Aaron took it as Moses had spoken and ran into the midst of the assembly, for behold, the plague had begun among the people. So he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. He took his stand between the dead and the living so that the plague was checked. What's going on here? The Lord said, stand back. I'm going to wipe all of them out. And almost like a wave coming over the people, there are thousands of people that are just dying and dying and dying. And what is Moses saying? Moses is saying, Aaron, you take your censer and you put incense on it. And right there between the living and the dying, I want you to run right into the midst of that. Here comes this wave of death sweeping over thousands of people. And again, he's saying, you run right into the midst of that. Wouldn't that be such a terrifying thing to do? But yet here is Moses and Aaron, like so thoroughly trusting the Lord, like whatever he said, they're willing to do it. So here is Aaron running right into that horrible situation. He's got people on one side of him living, people on the other side of him are immediately dying, and yet he goes right into the midst of that. And then finally, we see that the Lord did stop. So the Lord told them the plan, they followed the plan, and the Lord heeded what they did. But those who died by the plague were 14,700, besides those who died on account of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the doorway of the tent of meeting, for the plague had been checked. What can we say about this, Numbers chapter 16? Well, let's remember the Lord is holy and almighty. So it is utter foolishness for anyone to oppose the Lord, and we should be careful about opposing those who are representing the Lord, for example, like Moses and Aaron. Let us never be numbered among such people. If we ever find ourselves in a group and they're wanting to somehow oppose the Lord, let's make sure we get out of that group as quickly as we can. We don't want to get pulled in that kind of a direction. Let me finish today with this statement. Let us tell others about the Lord's holiness, the Lord's power, the Lord's love. Why should we do all of that? So that all people who hear us might repent and believe and be saved through Jesus. If we are living in unrepentance, God is saying, don't let it go another moment, but rather be sorry for your sins and then look to Jesus and understand that through him there is full forgiveness. And then like Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, he said to her, now go and sin no more. We're not able to do that completely, but that becomes the desire of a heart who is in relationship with God through Jesus. We have this desire to go and sin no more. May God help us in such things. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are the Almighty God. Since you have made us, you provide for us and have saved us through Jesus, help us that moment by moment, day by day, we would rightly love you, trust you, and obey you. And then, as we live our lives, help us to care about others, help us to pay attention to them, and as you give us opportunity, help us to call them to also love you and trust you and obey you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.